I'm going to call the March 25th, 2025 meeting of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board to order. Lori, would you please call the roll?
Dr. Colome?
Here.
Mr. Cook?
Here.
Mr. Cox? Mr. Saperstein? And Chair Dressler?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right. The first item of business is the election of the chair and vice chair for 2025. I'd welcome any potential nominations.
Well, I'd like to nominate Chair Dressler to continue in this role. He is an effective runner of these meetings. He's handled all of the interim variance requests, which has taken a burden off of any of the other members on this committee, and has extensive experience here with the Santa Barbara County APCD. So I would move reappointment of Chair Dressler.
I would second that motion and everything you just said.
I'm willing to serve also.
How do I know? Oh, there it is. I'm willing to serve, but I also want to make sure that everybody knows that if you are at all interested in being chair, if not this time, the next time or something like that, please step up and go into that role. This is not a burden for me or anything like that, and I'm comfortable doing it. So I'm willing to do that. That being said, do I have to open public comment on this?
I would.
What?
I would.
Okay, I'll open public comment. Is there any public comment on the nomination for chair?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comment on this.
I have a nomination on the table with a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nomination passes. Now we'll go with vice chair. Who is the current vice chair?
Dr. Colome.
Do I have a nomination for vice chair?
I'll nominate Dr. to stay in the vice chair position.
All right. I'll second that. Are you willing to serve?
As difficult as you make it to serve, yes.
I'll open public comment.
No public comments received on this item.
I'll close public comment. I have a motion and a second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. All right. So now we will go on to the regular agenda. The next item of business is the approval of the minutes for the November 6, 2024 meeting. I just want to remind everybody that you are allowed to vote on the minutes, whether you were here or not. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Oh, I was going to say I have no comments. So I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting.
And I wasn't there. I was recovering from surgery, but I did read the minutes, so I will second it.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Is there any public comment?
Chair Dresser, we did not receive any public comment on this item.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on the floor with no public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Next item is announcements and staff reports. Are there any announcements or reports from the staff?
Good morning, Chair Dressler and members of the Hearing Board. The district staff does have some exciting updates for the Hearing Board. The first item is our permitted facilities map. We've revamped it. It's available here online. You can also scan the QR code to see the permitted facilities map. It was presented to the Board of Supervisors during the January meeting, and you might find this tool helpful when preparing for upcoming hearings. The next item that we have is the announcement of our new APCD Santa Maria office. It's located at 1101 West McCoy. In addition to being the new district offices, it will serve as the North County Hearing Board location once the equipment installation is complete. The open house and ribbon cutting ceremony are still in the works, and you all will be invited, so stay tuned for that invitation. And that is all of the staff updates. Thank you very much.
Is the map accessible on the APCD website?
Yes, that is okay. Correct. It is available on our APCD website. You can see permitted facilities. You can go and look at annual reports, NOVs, inspection reports. It's very helpful tool to see what's going on. There's also a presentation if you go to the January Board of Supervisors meeting, there's a presentation that's available for your review.
Thank you, Amy. The next item is public comment. I want to, at this time, open the public comment period for any item that's under the purview of this hearing board, but is not on the agenda today.
Chair Dresser, we did not receive any public comments for items not on the agenda.
All right, then I will close public comment. The next item is our public hearings for today. There's one case today. Lori, would you please read this item into the record?
Public hearing item F1, case number 202504R, regular variance. To consider a regular variance from District Rule 206, permit to operate 16120, conditions 2D4911A for thermal oxidizer APC device ID 109886, table 3 ACM casting tray and rinse tank emissions, and table 4. The variance petition was submitted on January 29th, 2025, for relief from the best available control technology, reactive organic compounds, destructive efficiency requirements, outlet flow rate, and source test requirements for the thermal oxidizer until compliance can be achieved. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at the facility in Goleta, California.
Thank you, Lori. First, I will administer the oath to all witnesses that are going to be providing testimony. If you are going to be providing testimony today, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I would like each participant that has been sworn in to please state your name and affiliation and then affirm the oath. And we would just start with Amy.
Amy Long with the district, and I do.
Caitlin McNally with the district, and I do.
Matt Dunn with Geosyntec, I do.
John Paolo Quinto with Mann and Hummel, I do.
Aaron Roth with Mann and Hummel, I do.
Thank you.
Chair Dresser, we also have one member on Zoom taking the oath. Go ahead, Charlie.
This is Charlotte Mountain with the district, and I do.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask the petitioner from Mann and Hummel, Water Fluid Solutions, Inc., doing business as MNUS, to make their case. During your report, in order for us to grant this variance petition today, we are going to have to make specific findings that are outlined by state law. And I would hope that during your report that the information that you provide in the report will be organized in a way that addresses all of these findings that have to be made so that the board, will be able to hear the evidence that we need to hear in order to make the findings. If you would like, I could go down all those findings, but I'm assuming that you've come here prepared, and I don't need to do that. So why don't I just turn the meeting over to you guys and have you give your presentation.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Aaron Roth. I'm the plant manager at MNUS Goleta. This is John Paolo Quinto, our HSE specialist. As we begin, I would like to start with a brief overview of who we are and what we do. So we have 139 employees. Hold just a second. There we go. So we have 139 employees at our site that that are involved in the manufacturing of water and process filtration. Globally, we are a leading supplier of water filtration with the focus on sustainable solutions for water pollution, water reuse, decentralized wastewater treatment, and industrial wastewater solutions. Some of the manufactured products at MNUS include Tricep, Spirecep RO. We also manufacture nanofiltration, ultrafiltration membrane as well. The applications include water, wastewater, food and beverage processing, and pharmaceuticals. So we have three types of casting processes at our facility. The main casting process that is the subject of this hearing is advanced composite membrane, also known as ACM, which I'll refer to here going forward. To run ACM, we utilize a thermal oxidizer, device ID 109886, to control emissions captured from the ACM coating machine. The 1 million BTU per hour thermal oxidizer is mandated to undergo source testing annually. So why we're here is to provide us more time to repair or replace the thermal oxidizer. And it will allow us to continue operations as we work towards compliance. So, as noted, there are six findings required to make for the variance. Number one, unable to comply with district rule, non-compliance due to conditions beyond applicant's control, such takings without corresponding benefit in reducing pollution, applicant is considered curtailing operations, reducing emissions to the maximum extent feasible, and monitoring and reporting emissions. We believe that we satisfy these six key findings with valid justification for the variance, excessive burden due to compliance, no significant impact to public health or the environment, reasonable attempts to comply, alternative measures to reduce emissions, and a clear schedule for compliance with corrective actions and deadlines. These findings ensure that the variance is granted responsibly, balancing environmental and operational needs. So two implicit findings in support of the variance. I will go into detail on these a little bit later in the presentation. But first is the operation under variance is not a public nuisance. And second is other requirements to guarantee expeditious compliance with emissions standards or increments of progress. So finding one, the following parts of Rule 206 that we are unable to comply with are listed above Rule 206, Condition 1, Condition 2, D4, Table 3, Table 4, Condition 9, and Condition 11A. The District Rule 206 condition approval of authority to construct or permit to operate. Condition one is emissions limitations. The mass emissions from the equipment permitted shall not exceed the values listed in Table 1 and Table 2 of Permit to Operate 16120. Condition 2, D4, operational restrictions removal efficiency. The ROC removal efficiency across the thermal oxidizer shall be greater than 98%, or outlet ROC concentration shall be less than 10 ppmv, whichever is attainable. Table 3 is BACT requirements. Table 4, source test requirements. Condition 9, best available control technology. apply emission control technology and plant design measure that represent back to the operation of equipment and facilities. And then condition 11A, source testing shall be performed on an annual schedule, as our anniversary is April. So the actions to comply for finding one is we have conducted a thorough inspection of the ACM room ducts, which is what provides the emissions out of the building and into the thermal oxidizer. We have installed a dampener to control inlet and outlet under the flow requirements. We have obtained quotes for repairing and replacing the oxidizer. We have three external suppliers that we have so far engaged with. Three of them have now taken on-site visits, as this is a large and custom piece of equipment. This is not something that you can get at Home Depot and install the next day. The scheduled visits have been through January and February, and we have hired an environmental consultant to help us navigate this process to return to compliance as soon as we can. If we decide to replace the current oxidizer, based on all the information available to us, an application will be submitted to the APCD. We anticipate this initial series of quotes to be submitted to us by the second or third week of March, and the application would then be the week after once we make that decision. Obviously, it depends on the engagement of the suppliers, but they understand the urgency of this. So, finding two, our permit to operate 16120 requires an annual source testing of the thermal oxidizer. The source tests, as provided to APCD, did fail. As a result of this, a third-party vendor was contacted to determine the condition of the thermal oxidizer. On the 10th of December, we performed an exterior visual inspection. Nothing out of the ordinary was noticed. However, the guts, you could say, of the thermal oxidizer are inside and not easily accessible or viewable. So we had to schedule a follow-on inspection where there was further disassembly and the ability to actually look inside to where the combustion is happening. During that time of inspection, there was noticed deterioration of the heat exchanger pipes. Again, this is not confirmed or denied to be the cause of the failed source test, but it was just an observation. This oxidizer is 30 years old, roughly, and natural degradation is expected due to environment and continual function. And because the pipes were, again, the combustion happens on the inside, the state of the oxidizer was not easily known until that actual inspection of the interior.